You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Hope that you've had a great week so far. I've got a lot of great options for you this week. I know that a lot of you are starting your summer vacations. Listening to this show is going to help you when you're away from home and you're looking for something to watch with your loved ones or just on your own. If you're looking for something to escape from the hectic work week, rest assured there's so much for you this week and in different categories. So if one thing's not for you, trust me, I've got something else for you. So here we go with this week's list. Before though, I have to remind you, I've got a live show on July 13th at the Irvine Improv. Get your tickets now. I'm telling you, don't waste time. Get them now. I've got special guests. It is going to be a fantastic night. And you know what? I feel like I need to meet you guys in person. You're so awesome, so supportive, and you're so like-minded. We're watching the same stuff. We're talking about the same stuff. I would love to see you and have a chance to hang out with you. So make sure you get those tickets at improv.com. Get those tickets soon. Okay, here's the list for this week. First thing out of the gate, Halftime on Netflix. This is a Jennifer Lopez documentary with her reflecting on her multifaceted career and the pressures of life in the spotlight. What I think is interesting is I typically get a lot of the screeners well in advance, and I don't think many members of the media have received a screener ahead of time. I know some people have gone to screeners. I believe Melissa Gorga and her husband were at a screening. But it's pretty much kind of, they're waiting to unveil it this week. So I'm interested to see what the documentary is all about. I do know that there are some quotes pulled about how she thought that having Shakira in the halftime show was a disastrous decision. So I'm interested to hear her describe that a little bit more. I do find it interesting that she's talking about the pressures of life in the spotlight because I often think of her in comparison to Kim Kardashian. And Kim's younger, but she has said that she feels like there are few people that have thick enough skin to handle the pressures of celebrity and that she feels like she's made for it. And I'm wondering if with time, and especially now that she's going to get married to Ben Affleck, if she's reflecting on fame a little bit differently, that it's okay to sometimes take time for yourself and your family and not feel like if you dip out for a little bit that you're forgotten about, which is really hard. I mean, I think of Madonna and how she feels this ongoing pressure, like she's got to become relevant. I've heard celebrities, comedians talk about it. I've heard David Spade say that his daughter always says, do whatever you can to stay relevant. Chris Rock, the same thing. And it'll be interesting to hear her insight on that. I'm wondering if it's changed over time. So anyway, it's called Halftime on Netflix. That's the thing that I'm really most interested in watching for this week. If you like true crime stuff, this one's for you. It's called Web of Make-Believe, Death, Lies, and the Internet, also on Netflix, and tells stories of people caught in a dark and twisted web of modern misinformation and digital deception. And I mean, that is so true with all the catfishing. It's very easy for somebody to pull a huge scam, if you will. I mean, think about all the podcasts we listen to, all the series that we watch having to do with people scamming. So this is one, I think that's also an important watch so we can figure out how we can better protect ourselves. This is a 6-part anthology series from the director, Brian Knappenberger. He is a well-known documentary director, Luminant Media and Imagine Documentaries that tell stories of people caught in the dark and twisted web of modern misinformation and digital deception, as mentioned. Haunting, bizarre, and up to the moment relevant, the series explores consequences of swatting, takes a chilling trip down the rabbit hole of white supremacy, joins a federal hunt for a suspect of a brazen IRS heist, and dives into Russian election interference. So, with distinctive characters and surprising plot lines, reality is distorted when the ordinary American household collides with a chaotic web full of misinformation. Again, it's called Web of Make-Believe, Death, Lies, and the Internet on Netflix. As always, you know, I will put this in my Substack newsletter. Go to katecasey.substack.com because all of these descriptions will be there for you. And also the graphic that you can save on your phone and look to throughout the week as your guide. Also, I will go through the list at the end. So if you don't have a paper and pencil, don't worry about it because you could go to that Substack or to my social media. Okay, this one I'm excited about. It's on ESPN, part of their 30 for 30 series, which you know I'm crazy about. This one's 3 parts. It's called Dream On. It tells the story of how the domination run to a gold medal by the 1996 United States Women's Olympic team cemented the birth of the WNBA and inspired generations of stars to follow. Great for all of those in your life that love anything to do with sports, kind of like my family over here, my friends, but also for women and female athletes, a really important story. 3 parts. If you think about it, I interviewed the creator of 30 for 30, and he told me, I believe, that they get 3,000 submissions every year, and they usually choose 2, if not 3, topics to do 30 for 30s on in a year. So they're really culling from an extraordinary list of suggested stories within sports, and these are the best of the best. So it's Dream On, and it's all about the WNBA coming out of the 96 Olympic Games. This one, I'm so excited about. It's called The Martha Mitchell Effect. I want you to watch this before you start watching the Stars series starring Julia Roberts called Gaslit. So this one profiles the cabinet wife who spoke out during Watergate and the Nixon administration's campaign to gaslight her into silence. This, by the way, airs June 17th on Netflix. So here's the background. Martha Mitchell was the wife of John Mitchell, U.S. Attorney General under President Richard Nixon. Her frank public comments during the Watergate scandal were a great embarrassment to the Nixon administration. She first came into national attention after she remarked on a TV station that peace demonstrations held in November of 1969 reminded her husband of the Russian Revolution. The statement was widely viewed as indiscreet, increased her notoriety and coverage in the media. She had the custom of having an evening drink and then calling reporters with political gossip or information she'd gleaned while rifling through her husband's papers or eavesdropping on his conversations. I mean, she was ahead of her time. So during this time, Martha's renown as an outspoken socialite grew, and she made regular appearances on talk shows and variety shows such as Laugh-In, which, by the way, was an enormously popular show of the time. Imagine that now, the wife of a cabinet member being super gossipy and then being asked to be on talk shows. So by the following year, in November of 1970, a Gallup poll indicated that 76% of Americans recognized who she was, and she made the cover of Time in an issue about the most influential women of Washington. Her reputation for frank and uncensored talk, generally in support of Republican issues, led her to be nicknamed Martha the Mouth or the Mouth of the South. So Richard Nixon selected her husband John to head the Committee to Re-elect the President, which is commonly abbreviated to CRP. You will know that name if you've done any kind of cursory research on Watergate. So he, again, was named the head of that, the Committee to Re-elect the President for the 1972 campaign. So during the campaign, Martha had begun to complain to her media contacts that the campaign had engaged in dirty tricks to win the election. A week before the June 1972 burglary of the DNC, which is the Democratic National Committee headquarters, in the Watergate office building, the Mitchells had traveled to Newport Beach, California, God bless, to attend a series of fundraising events. And while there, her husband, John, received a phone call about the incident and immediately held a press conference denying any CRP involvement, which you can imagine. So John then returns to Washington, encouraging his wife to remain in California to enjoy the sunny weather, because of course he knows she's Martha the Mouth. Meanwhile, however, he enlisted their security agent, Steve King, a former FBI agent, to prevent her from learning about the break-in or contacting reporters. So during these efforts, the following Monday, Martha acquires a copy of the LA Times. She learns that James W. McCord Jr., the security director of the CRP, and her daughter's bodyguard and driver was among those arrested. So if you can only imagine. So this detail conflicts with the White House's official story that the break-ins were unrelated to the CRP and raises her suspicion. So she unsuccessfully made attempts to contact her husband by phone, eventually telling one of his aides that her next call would be to the press. You know, this is way before cell phones, as you can imagine. And she's like, I need to get some information to my husband. We need to talk. So the following day, which is a Thursday, she makes a late night phone call to Helen Thomas of the United Press International. Let me tell you, first of all, Helen Thomas is on my list of like total heroines. I met her when I was in college. She was about 4'11". She was a pistol of a reporter, took no one shit. It didn't matter what president was standing before her of any country, she would ask these really intense, awesome questions. So she makes a late night call to Helen, reportedly her favorite reporter, and who can blame her? So she informed Helen of her intention to leave her husband until he resigned from the CRP, because she's like so fired up about it. So the phone call, however, abruptly ends. So when Helen calls back, the hotel operator told her that Martha was indisposed and would not be able to talk. Suspicious, right? So Helen then called John, the husband, who seemed unconcerned and said, Martha gets a little upset about politics, but she loves me and I love her and that's all that counts. So in her subsequent report on the incident, Helen says that it was apparent someone had taken the phone from Martha's hand and the woman could be heard saying, you just get away. So her account was widely covered in the news and many media outlets made efforts to find Martha for an interview. Okay, this is where it gets crazy. So a few days later, Marcia Kramer, a veteran crime reporter of the New York Daily News, tracks Martha to the Westchester Country Club in Rye, New York. She found a beaten woman who had incredible black and blue marks on her arms. And in what turned out to be the first of many interviews, she related how in the weeks following the Watergate burglary, she'd been held captive in that California hotel and that it was King that had pulled the phone cord from the wall. And after several attempts to escape from the balcony, she was physically accosted by five men. Not one, not two, five men, which left her needing stitches. So Nixon's personal lawyer was summoned to the hotel and he decided to call for a doctor to inject her with a tranquilizer. The incident left her fearing for her life. So imagine a woman with loose lips having this happen to her. So although the Watergate burglary was leading the story from all news formats, everyone is talking about this burglary. Her reports were relegated to human interest stories in major newspapers, including the Times, Washington Post, and the New York Daily News. So is Nixon's aides, in an effort to discredit Martha, tell the press that she had a drinking problem. So this is where the whole gaslit problem comes about, which was totally, by the way, totally untrue. So they also suggested she was convalescing in Silver Hill Hospital, a psychiatric facility in Connecticut. So she knows shit. They don't want her to talk. They hold her captive. She gets stitches in the process. She emerges weeks later. She's like, let me just tell you, stuff went down and here's what happened. And then they say, oh, she's just a drunk. And at one point, make it seem like she was in a psychiatric facility. Because, you know, that's the old tried and true way of discrediting a woman, is to make it sound like she's crazy. So she began contacting reporters when her husband's role in the scandal became known in an effort to defend him. And she believed to be a fall guy, because of course she was, and encouraged him to turn against President Nixon. So soon after the burglary, John, her husband, resigned, citing his desire to spend more time with his family as the reason, which is a total housewife move, right? So in the meantime, corruption in the GOP, the Republican Party, had moved sharply into focus for the outspoken Martha. So she was like so devoted to this party, and then they turned on her, and then she's like, I am not going to like stand at the bottom of the mountain. So in May of 1973, she provides sworn testimony in a deposition at the offices of Henry Rothblatt in connection with the Democratic Party's $6.4 million civil suit against the committee to reelect the president. The Mitchells, Martha and John, would ultimately separate in September of 1973, with John suddenly moving out of the family home with the daughter. And on January 1st, 1975, he was convicted of perjury, obstruction of justice, and conspiracy for his involvement in the Watergate break-in. He served 19 months in federal prison, and they never saw each other again. I mean, is this bananas? So because of her involvement in the scandal, she was discredited and abandoned by most of her family, except for her son, Jay. And it wasn't until February of 1975 that McCord, after being convicted for his role in the Watergate burglary, admitted that Martha was, in his words, basically kidnapped, and then he corroborated her story. So he further asserted that H.R. Haldeman, as well as other top aides of President Nixon, had been jealous of her popularity in the media and had sought out ways to embarrass her. Is this like a reality show or what? You guys, this is the crazy story. So Richard Nixon was later to tell interviewer David Frost in that epic 1977 interview. I swear to God, just this, like the political history stuff is so crazy, especially this story. So that is, by the way, a great interview. Go back and watch it. So Nixon tells David Frost in 1977 that Martha was a distraction to John Mitchell, such that no one was minding the store. And if it hadn't been for Martha Mitchell, there would have been no Watergate. Oh my God. So as mentioned, Julia Roberts is currently playing Martha Mitchell in the Starz series Gaslit, which is a modern take on the 1970s political Watergate scandal centering on untold stories and forgotten characters of the time. So you are going to want to watch, if I haven't sucked you into it, you're going to want to watch this. The Martha Mitchell Effect on Netflix, which starts on the 17th. And then you're going to want to start watching Julia Roberts in Gaslit, which is on Starz. And that the season finale is this week, but go back and you can binge all the episodes. Two years ago for my birthday, my friend Carlene got me the most perfect birthday gift, a Vuori jogger. Since then, it has become a staple in my wardrobe. To know me is to know I love Vuori joggers. And here's why I love it. The product is incredibly versatile. It can be used for just about any activity like running, training, swimming, yoga, but also awesome for lounging or weekend errands. You will love the way you look in all Vuori clothing. And ordering your new favorite items could not be easier. Their website will showcase all the great colors and for all of their soft and well-made clothes. And here's another reason I love it. Vuori is 100% offsetting their carbon footprint. They're also reducing and offsetting 100% of their plastic footprint from 2019 and beyond. And they are utilizing better sustainable materials for their products, empowering your best active life. And for men, know that my husband loves Vuori pants too. They're perfect for running and his go-to travel pant. Vuori is an investment in your happiness. And for my listeners, they are offering, get this, 20% off your first purchase. Get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/Kate. That's Vuori.com/Kate. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/Kate and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today. Okay, also this week, Roadrunner, a film about Anthony Bourdain. It is a Max original documentary premiere. And of course, Anthony Bourdain has since passed away. Devastating. A titan for the Food Network. A prolific food author, writer, presenter, personality, etc. It's called Roadrunner, a film about Anthony Bourdain. Episode 10 of The Kardashians, it's the season finale. It's titled Enough is Enough. It's released Thursday the 16th on Hulu and on Disney Plus at 3 a.m. Eastern time. So it's like Hulu is 3 hours ahead of time. They'll post it and then it'll be on Disney Plus. So the episode will show Khloé dealing with the aftermath of her partner Tristan Thompson's cheating scandal. So again, that's the season finale this week on Hulu. And then lastly, if you're into the Kardashian stuff especially, Netflix's stand-up special, Pete Davidson Presents The Best Friends, that airs Monday, June 13th. So maybe you could watch that first and then go back and watch the Kardashian season finale. So that is the list. So let me go over that again. Halftime, Netflix, is about Jennifer Lopez. It's a documentary. Of course, she's executive producing, so keep that in mind. June 14th, Web of Make-Believe, Death Lies in the Internet on Netflix airs June 15th. Dream On, Three Parts, ESPN begins June 15th. The Martha Mitchell Effect on Netflix starts June 17th, and then go watch Gaslit on Stars. Roadrunner, a film about Anthony Bourdain, Max original documentary premiere. You can stream that now. Episode 10 of The Kardashians, titled Enough is Enough, season finale on Hulu, is available on Thursday, June 16th. And the Netflix stand-up special, Pete Davidson Presents The Best Friends, is on Monday, June 13th. So that is your list this week. I hope that you will let me know what you think of all of them, if not one or two. I'm dying to know what you think. As always, you can go to katecasey.substack.com to join that newsletter list. You're going to get it in your email every Monday. You don't even have to worry about it. Pops up in your email and you're good to go. Use it as a guide. You can join the Facebook group Reality Life with Kate Casey to talk about this episode and others, including last week's episode with the director of Keep Sweet, Pray, and Obey on Netflix, which people are going crazy for. As I told you, it was like a must watch. And then I also interviewed Brandi Glanville on Friday. She's going to be in the upcoming Ultimate Girls Trip on Peacock. So you can talk about those episodes and others and what everyone's watching this week. Again, Facebook group is Reality Life with Kate Casey. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. I tweet about shows and during shows all week long. You can find me on Instagram at Kate Casey CA. Please find me on TikTok at It's Kate Casey. Patreon has bonus episodes. My last Patreon episode is all about Britney Spears' wedding and other great stuff in pop culture. You can find them at Patreon, patreon.com/KateCasey, Cameo Kate Casey. And of course, as mentioned, July 13th, live show, Irvine Improv. Book your tickets now. Get them before they're gone. Hope that you're having a great week. Look forward to circling back with you on Wednesday and then again on Friday.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me,
DJ Fuse,
and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.